Church. Good morning, how are you? I want to welcome you today. I want to welcome our online community today, all our friends and family that are joining us online today. However you're gathering this morning, we just want to welcome you as we take some moments to share around God's Word today. Did you hear them say we're going to sacrifice food? And prayer and fasting for a few days, which is always a dynamic time in the life of our church. We want you to join us on that. And then I think one of the really exciting parts is all the boys are getting together then for a breakfast to break the fast on the Saturday morning. So we're going to do that well. Make sure you register for the men's breakfast and for the women's breakfast get-togethers. They're just great times to gather, share some friendship and share some food together. Are you doing well today? You are? Good. Good to see you in church. We're going to pray for everybody today that wants prayer. If you want prayer, we're praying for you. We're going to pray for everybody online today. We're going to anoint people with oil. We do this once a year for our anointing service. And look, it's really simply about anointing people and setting them apart for the space that you hold in life, for whatever you do, where you go to work, where you live, your family, your friendship circle, your sphere of influence. And we want to pray God will be with you, God will protect you, God will provide for you, God will empower you, is what we want to pray. And so we look forward to doing that today at the end of the service. I want to talk to you today for a few moments about our theme that we've been on for a few weeks now, called Fuss or Future. Fuss or Future. And we're really talking around the whole concept of, you know, not getting stuck in the moment that our world has found ourselves in all the trouble and the circumstance, the fuss that has kind of encased our lives for each one of us throughout this season. There's no doubt, you know it, we know it. We're all conscious of the fact that we're living in a season of uncertainty and a season of insecurity, which is never good for human beings. We like things secure. We like things predictable. We like things to have a certain pattern and rhythm to them. And this has been a worldwide season, and still is, where rhythms are being challenged, patterns are being reestablished, habits are being thrown up in the air. And, you know, some people, like you, have responded with an amazing spirit of resilience and faith, but others haven't. Some haven't. They haven't managed to do that. Some have responded with unbelief, and some have shown a sense of resignation and reaction rather than a spirit of resilience. So we're here to cheer you on today. Turn to neighbor and say, I'm cheering you. I'm cheering you. We're here to cheer you on. If you're online today, we're here to cheer you on and encourage you to keep going and not get stuck in the now. Don't get stuck in the fuss. And of course, one of the ways to not get stuck in the fuss is to focus on the future. Focus on the future that God has for us individually and also for us corporately. So I've been encouraging us to be futurist, to be futuristic, to be what the Bible says we are. We're prophetic people, to use a Bible term. We're prophetic people. We live in the now, but we believe for the future, and we walk towards the future promises that God has for every one of us. So never ever give up on your future, and never never give up on our future. The future is worth the fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the fight. Our future and the promises that God has for us. We talked last week about the need, the necessity for expectation. To have a sense of strong expectation, because that breeds hope, and hope breeds faith. And God works with hope, and God works with expectation, and God works with faith. God doesn't work with rationalization and logic. He works with the unimaginable. And we've encouraged people to have a sense of unrealistic expectation, because unrealistic expectation leads to unimaginable outcomes. Unimaginable outcomes. We've got a big God. Do you know that. I want to remind you of that today. We've got a big God who specializes in doing things that are too difficult for us, that are too challenging for us, that are beyond the scope of what we can do, but we need to fight for it. You know, I think one of the big mistakes that is commonly made by people is to assume that if God wants us to have something, that we won't have to fight for it. That if God wants us to have something, that He's just going to deliver it to us. He's just going to hand it to us. He's just going to give it to us. And of course, life teaches us in a pretty brutal way that if you're going to receive what God wants you to have, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to participate. You're going to have to partner with God. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to claim. You're going to have to just reach out. You're going to have to fight for the things that God wants you to have. You know, there are groups of people and there are individuals that have made a whole theology, a whole God thought around the fact that God will just give it to you. And you can just blab and grab for it. And you know, you can just believe and receive it. And of course, that's just a whole lot of unbiblical nonsense. The truth is, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to participate. You're going to have to partner for the things that God says you can have. So we need to fight for our God-ordained future. Our God-ordained future, for the vision that God has for you individually and also for us as a church community. So don't get caught up in that. Don't become prey to that ideology. I won't even call it the theology. That ideology that if God wants me to have it, then He'll just do it. If God wants me to have it, then He'll just hand it to me. That whatever happens is the will of God, and the will of God is whatever happens. That's an ideology. It's not theology. It's an ideology that whatever happens is the will of God. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. This pandemic is the will of God. No, it's not. It's nonsense. There's a lot of stuff that happens that is not the will of God. To us, to our families, to our faith, to our community, to our church, to our world. Not everything that happens is the will of God. We live in a broken world. We live in a world ruled by evil. We live in a world dominated by evil. We have a good God. We have a God that's sovereign, but we have a God that is not responsible for everything that takes place in our world. So I want to encourage you today to pull the plug on that ideology and on that philosophy that has this neutral, passive thought that whatever will be. Take a stand. Take a stand. Fight your fight. Believe what you believe in and what you believe for, and pray for it and work for it and partner with God to see it come to pass. You know, I think that whole neutral, passive, whatever will be kind of attitude and ideology, it causes people just to lay down in life. Just to lay down in life and have a sense of non-responsibility. Non-responsibility and non-participation for the things of life that they would believe for. And people, they give up their daring spirit and their risk-taking spirit, and they become passive and neutral, and they step out and they step down rather than stepping up and being bold, and they miss out on what God has for them on the path of following God. Do you know the plan that God has for us is on the path that God has for us? And the path that God has for us keeps us moving towards the plan that God has for us. There's both a path and a plan. There's a path and a plan. We don't create our own path. It's a God path. It's a journey that God takes us on, and it's a plan that we work with God that brings about the purposes and the promises of God in our lives. But just because God has a plan doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight. The year was 400 BC in Jerusalem, And Jerusalem as a city was overcome by their enemies. The enemies had come in, they'd burnt their houses, they'd broken down the city walls, and the city was defenseless. People were discouraged, they were demoralized, and there was a son of the city who lived in Persia. His name was Nehemiah. And this son of the city of Jerusalem that lived in Persia, a foreign land, he had received the favor of God, and God had promoted him to be the cupbearer to the king. He was one of the king's personal servants. And his heart was broken when he heard how dysfunctional and demoralized the city of Jerusalem, his city, had become. And he's sad in the presence of the king. And the king asks him what's up. And so he tells the king. He tells the king why he's upset. And he tells the king what he wants to do, how he wants to go back to Jerusalem and help the people, rebuild the city, rebuild the economy. And he asks the king, would you help me? And the amazing thing about this story is that the king said, I'll resource you. I'll provide whatever you need. And so the king resourced the mission for Nehemiah to go back and build the city. And so Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem. He gathers all the people together, he rallies them around, and he basically says this to them: the past doesn't have to determine the future. You see, these people had lived in decades of captivity, and he says to them, that doesn't have to rule who we will become in the future. I know you're weak, I know you feel like you can't do it, but I want you to know God's got a plan. God's got something better, and we need to fight for our future, and we need to build for our future. We need to fight, and we need to build, is what Nehemiah says to the people of Jerusalem. Now, they had a plan, but they also had an enemy. And their enemies would come against them. The enemies would come against the builders of the city. The enemies would come against Nehemiah. And what the enemy did is what the enemy always does. It's what our enemy does. He mocked them. The enemy mocked them, tried to stop them, tried to discourage them from the mission of rebuilding the city and the economy. So the enemy would come along and disrupt, distract, present false information, discouraging reports, negativity, and criticism. Listen to what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 4:14. It says, after I looked things over in terms of the city, I stood and I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. The first thing Nehemiah told the people was this: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's happening. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the voices. Don't be afraid of those that come against us. Don't be afraid of the critics. Don't listen to them. And then he reminded them of how great God is. He says, remember your God, who is great and awesome. I think if the church worldwide needs to hear any message at the moment, it's this: don't be afraid. And remember who God is. Remember how great and awesome God is. Remember how big and glorious and majestic that God is. In other words, get your eyes off the present, get your eyes off the problem, and get your eyes on the promiser, get your eyes on the promise, get your eyes on the bigness of God. Because when you're captivated by the bigness of God, everything else looks a whole lot smaller. But when you lose sight of the bigness of God, everything else is magnified. It becomes more dramatic. The problems become overwhelming. The potential of your world and life is minimized when you lose sight of a powerful God. But when you focus on a powerful God and the glory and the splendor of God, it makes you feel bigger than you really are. It does. It makes you feel braver than you really are when you know that God is with you and God is on your side. And so Nehemiah focuses them, first of all, on the bigness and the greatness of God. You know, church, when we engage in battle for the things that God has put in our heart, you're not just fighting for you. You're not just fighting for yourself. This is the message that Nehemiah gave the people. This battle's not just about you. This battle's not just for you. This battle is bigger than you. This battle has ramifications generationally behind you. People that will come that are going to be blessed by the fact that you stood up to build and you stood up to fight. So he says, you're fighting for your brothers, you're fighting for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your friends, your partners, your homes, and for our future. You know, this moment that we're in, the fight's bigger than just you. It's bigger than your fight. It's bigger than your job. It's bigger than your business. It's bigger than anything else. It's bigger than your family. It's generationally. It's for your children and your children's children. It's for the future generations that will come. We need to build and we need to fight to have the promises and the purposes of God fulfilled. The fight is never just about us. The enemy never just wants you. He wants generations that follow you. That's what he wants. And so to every mum and dad in this house, can I say, the way you build and the way you fight is so important. Because there are generations that are going to follow you. They're going to follow the walk. They're going to follow the path. They're going to follow the talk. They're going to follow the way that you live. And so we fight for future generations. You know, the biggest battle that we fight is not political. The battle in our land is not a battle, and I know we've got an election coming up, between Liberal and Labor. It's not a battle between the politics that you may hold, whether you vote for a major party or whether you vote for a minor party. It's not a political battle, our biggest fight. Our biggest fight at the moment is not even a medical battle. It's not a battle between pro-vax and no-vax. It's not that battle at all. That's not really the battle that we are fighting today. Our biggest battle is a spiritual battle, is what the Bible says. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against wickedness. Our battle is against evil in high places. Our battle is in a realm of the unseen. Our battle is a battle against truth and lies. That's what our battle is. And the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. He is the father of lies. He is the initiator, the instigator, the inventor of every lie that there is. As opposed to our God, who is the creator of truth. He is the maintainer of truth. He is the sustainer of truth. And the battle is against truth and lies, light and darkness, God and Satan. That is the battle that we are still involved in today. And we have a fight on our hands. And we have a fight on our hands in the Western world that is going to escalate. It's going to escalate against the church. It's going to escalate against what we believe, against who we are, against what we will represent and what we will give voice to and what we will defend. And the attack is stepping up. It's ramping up. It's amping up. There are minority voices that are standing and coming against the beliefs of the kingdom of God and the beliefs of the church. And the church can't be silent and the church can't be neutral. The church needs to exercise its belief right now in wise ways. In wise ways. We're not here to be arrogant. We're not here to be ignorant. We're not here to be attacking. We are here to stand for righteousness, is what we are here to stand for. So our biggest battle is the lies that come to challenge the truth. And Nehemiah lived in that same kind of environment where the people responded to the fuss, and they responded to the fuss by building and fighting. And the scriptures say that the people that built the walls, they built the walls with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, ready to fight the enemy. In Nehemiah 4:16, it says, from that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. And the officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. And those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Did you get that? Those that carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. The success of Nehemiah's mission was that the people had the ability to both build and fight. They were ready to do both. They were ready to physically take on the enemy, but at the same time they were building. They were reestablishing the walls. They were rebuilding their houses. So they were alert. They were alert to the challenge. They were alert to the danger. They were alert to the season that they were in. And I think the church needs to be alert right now. We need to be alert to the danger. We need to be alert to the fact that we need to both build and fight. Build and fight is what I think God has called us to do. It's not a physical fight. We're not here to fight anyone physically. We're here to fight for righteousness. We're here to fight for the kingdom of God. We're here to stand united. We're here to stand as one. We're here to stand together. We're here to fight for our families. We're here to fight for our future as individuals. We are here to fight for our future corporately. We're here to cheer the church on. We're not here to belittle any other church. We're not here to judge any other church. We're not here to speak against other churches. We are here to rally behind the church. The one church that the Bible says God has. You know, God only has one church, and it's not Impact Church. It's not Hope Center. It's not City Point. It's not any other church in this city. It's the body of Christ. It has Anglicans. It has Presbyterians. It has Baptists. It has Pentecostals. It has all kinds of brands, labels, denominations in this wonderful thing called the church, and we're here to cheer it on and fight and build for our lives. For our lives. We pray for your world. We pray for your business. We pray for your future. We pray for your job. Whatever you do today, we pray God will bless you. We pray God will prosper you. We pray God will provide for you, and God will expand you. We pray for your families, that God will bless them. We pray for your health. God will keep you healthy, because on the path of following God, there's all kinds of challenges. There's all kinds of things that we face that'll come against us to distract us, to disrupt us, to detour us from the plan that God has for us. And so lastly, we fight by building and we build by fighting for our future. So we are here to fight and build, build and fight, build and fight and build. Everyone say fight and build. Build and fight. We're here to build and fight and fight and build. We never stop fighting. We never stop building. We're always building. We're always fighting. We have a trowel in one hand. We have a spear in the other. We have a sword in the other. Have you brought your sword today? The Bible says the word of God is a sword. It's a sword. It's a sword that God has given us. We fight with the word of God. We stand on the word of God. We fight with the principles and the promises of God's word today. So we are here to be empowered to build, yeah. Empowered to fight. You know, when we gather, we build. Yeah. When we gather, we build is the thought I have for us today. Nehemiah 4:19 says that Nehemiah said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, he says, the work is extensive and it's spread out. And we are, listen to these words, we are widely separated from each other. We are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, and our God will fight for us. I want you to note several things. Don't ever allow the fuss to spread us out from one another. Don't ever allow the fuss to separate us from one another. We are better together. We are stronger together. There's a certain power in the power of us. God has ordained it in the power of us. When we are separated, we are diminished. When we are separated, we lose our collective sense of power. And when we are separated, we are easily picked off, easily depressed, easily discouraged, easily overwhelmed. But when we stand together, there's a sense of strength. I feel stronger when I know you're with me. I'm braver when you're with me. I'm bolder when you're with me. You know, when we were kids growing up, my brother and I, you know, when we were both in it together, whatever it was, we were both braver, particularly him. when he had me, he was braver. But when he was by himself, it's a different story. When you're by yourself, it's a little challenging. It's a little scary. It's a little because there's a sense of nobody's with me. But when you have two, everyone say two. Yeah. Two. It's a theme for our year. It takes two. When you have another with you, the Bible says you're stronger. One can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. There's that amplified impact and effect when we stand together. Let me read this verse to you. I've got to read this. This is Psalm 133. Before we anoint you today, this is a great thought, a great psalm. Many of you know it well. It says, how good and how wonderful it is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. When they come together, as opposed to being separated and apart and having a big gulf between them. It says when the brothers and sisters come together, it's a good thing. And it says it's like the anointing oil on Aaron the priest when he was anointed. The anointing oil would flow right down through his beard and through his robe, right down to the feet. And it's the thought that the anointing oil and the sense of unity is like that anointing oil that covers everything. You know, there's a sense of covering. There's a sense of God ordaining something very special when people come together in unity. Another version says harmony. Harmony. How good is it when the singers sing harmony? It's beautiful when they sing harmony. And there's that collective thought of voices coming together to make a beautiful sound. It says that unity or harmony is like the dew that falls on the mountains. It's a beautiful thing to behold. But listen to this. This is the promise. This is the best part about the unity of the people of God, the coming together, the having two in alignment and agreement. It says in that place, the Lord pronounces and announces the blessing, life forevermore. I want to live in a place that has the commanded blessing of God on it. Anyone else today want to live in that place where God commands the blessing? God speaks to it. Be blessed. Be blessed. God only blesses unity. He only blesses. He only blesses togetherness when we're in harmony together. That's why in Nehemiah's day, the enemy worked so hard to have them separated. Separated. And they were separated because the job was so extensive. The work was so extensive. Don't ever let what you do, which is a good thing, separate you from the people that you need to have around you. And the people that you need to have with you. Don't allow it to spread you out so thin. I love this thought as I close. It says this, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, come and gather, was what the scripture says. When you hear the trumpet sound, that's the sound we need you. You need to come and gather right now because there's a fight on. That's what it was in Nehemiah's day. Can I say that when we gather as a church and when we gather in our small groups and when we gather together to do the things that we do, that's the sound of a trumpet. That's the sound of a trumpet to come and be there and come out of our separateness and be together. Come out of our separate places of activity, those spaces that we're at in life, and come together with your brothers, your sisters, your spiritual family, and show your strength and show your unity and show your sense of mission and your sense of purpose and your sense of I'm here for the fight. I'm here to build what God is building. And so the trumpet sound was a call to action, a call to fight in that moment. So gathering is building and gathering is fighting. Gathering is building and gathering is fighting. What do we need to fight for?
Our future.
We need to fight for our future. We need to fight for our faith. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight for our finances. The fight is against everything. Everything. The fight is against everything we believe for. If you think the enemy wants you just to receive everything God has promised you, that is a false ideology. He's going to fight every bit of the way to keep you out of it, to keep you separated from it, to make you feel like you don't deserve it, to make you feel like you're not good enough, to make you feel like you're not valuable enough, to make you feel like, well, you're not as good as that person or as special as that one, and so you can't have gifts on your life, or God won't bless your finances or your family, and that you're in that situation because of something that happened in your past and some sin that has caused that to happen in your world. That's the kind of message the enemy brings. The message that Jesus brings is you are enough, you are valuable, you are loved. No matter how broken you were, you are made whole in and through Jesus Christ. And every promise that God has is for you. Every promise that God has is for you. The past does not have to be your future. It's called the past for a good reason, because it's past. Everyone say past. Past. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to be in the present, but look to the future. And I know I need to have some friends around me, some people that are close to me, some people that stand with me, some people that will build with me, some people that will fight with me, and we will build and fight with each other, and we will build and fight for each other. Any family and friends out there today ready to do that? Come on, church, stand to your feet today. Let's stand to our feet right across the hall today. I'm going to pray for some people today before we start, before we get into anointing people that are in the room today, we want to pray for some people that are online, or everyone that's online, our family online this morning that are gathering with us. We want to pray for them today and pray God's blessing, pray God's future over your family, over your faith, and over your finances, and over your world. And we're just praying God to be with you today as you build and as you fight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our online family and community today, for friends that are a part of us and unable to be here and in this digital platform. We just pray you'd be with them today. Father, we're praying for their families. We pray their families would be strong. We're praying their families would flourish as people gather around the word of God, the plan of God, and the path of God. We're praying for finances today, that the goodness and the blessing and favor of God would be upon people, and that people would know and understand, Lord, to live in your righteousness with that, to be people that honor you with their tithes, with their offering, and bless you, and you bless them, Father. I pray for that to be a reality in people's lives. Protect businesses. Protect the security of jobs, we pray. Open doors for people where they need new opportunities is my prayer today. I pray for faith to be strong. I pray for faith to be flourishing. I pray for the sense of God connection to be real. And I pray that they would be fruitful and flourish in the kingdom of our God is my prayer today. Thank you for our online family and friends. We bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're online,